Good afternoon. Welcome back, everybody. This is the second hour of gameplay. The Raptors beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night, and I feel good about my player prop bets. I had the over for assists for Siakam and Scotty Barnes. Both of those hit. I thought the game would go under, so I was certainly wrong there. Join me now to talk all things Raptors, NBA, and everything in between is Nikki Reyes, co-host for all our pregame, half, and postgame here on TSN 1050. Good afternoon, Nikki. Thanks for joining the show.
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for having me. The question is, did you make those bets before or after you knew Giannis was going to be playing?
This was before. Wait a minute. Nope, this was after. This was okay. This was after when, because we were discussing it on yesterday's show, and then the news came down that Giannis was out, which the line was like 7.5 for Milwaukee, and it moved down to like 3.5, 4. So it was made afterwards. Well, just partially is because Siakam, like what I loved about it is that Siakam, his playmaking has been one of the big stories since his return. And with Scotty Barnes, there's been, I think people want him to shoot the ball more, but the one thing no one is complaining about is his ability to pass.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That he is a pass-first guy. And he's been obviously put in a different role these last couple of games, starting at the center position. He's being a facilitator and a primary ball handler, which I like because it frees up Fred VanVleet, who's just been on absolute fire from beyond the arc and the catch-and-shoot threes. But you're right, Pascal Siakam, his assisting and facilitating has been on point because now he's just daring defenders to double-team him. As he uses his speed and his aggressiveness to drive the paint and then dish out and find his open man or just start the rotations and actions all over again. So I know it's only been a couple of games, and this is, the third time Nick Nurse has used these starting five, his best five players, but they're still figuring it out. But I like how each of them are finding their roles, and then it's starting to really complement one another. And you see that tandem with Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam. Of course, Fred is playing on another level as well. I heard you guys talking about the All-Star voting, which is a shame. Yeah. Everyone's got to get out there and start voting for Fred VanVleet, or else you can't complain. But I'm just happy that it's finally fun to see this team play, even when they were, they gave up 77 points yesterday and then held them to 11 points in that third quarter. They're figuring things out, but there's a maturity to them as well. Because when you look at four of the seven or eight, main guys on this team, they still have that championship residue with Pascal, Fred, OG, and Chris Boucher. So the anchors are there, and all the other guys are really getting up to speed. And it's funny, I was talking to Josh about this earlier on our show, The Raptors Beat, that Scotty just looks bigger from the time that he started the season. He looks like he's actually really filling out and growing into himself. So all this talk of length and athleticism and height and what that brings, that big forward group, is really coming to fruition, and it's exciting to see happen.
By the way, you mentioned Raptors Beat. If I wanted to listen to Raptors Beat, when and where would I do that, Nikki Reyes?
Well, it is on TSN 1050 from 10 to 11 every Thursday, or you can find it on wherever you find your podcast. Wherever that may be, Apple, Spotify, whatever you like. So,
Stitcher,
Josh and I started at the beginning of the season, and it's been fun. It's been a good time. Thanks for the plug.
And absolutely. And it's going to get better because here's the thing about the Raptors, and we'll get to VanVleet in 1 second, and we'll yell and scream about Tyler Hero. Get out of here with Tyler Hero. when Scotty Barnes is your fourth option offensively, that is a good thing for the team. It's a good thing for Scotty because he can develop in a more organic way where he's not being asked to do too much. But when you've got Siakam and Fred VanVleet and also OG Anunoby is just consistently putting up 18 to 22 points a game, when you are getting that from those three guys, the offense suddenly looks a lot less constipated than what it did earlier in the year.
Yeah, and don't forget about Gary Trent Jr. in that mix because he's, pretty consistent offensively. He kind of, first game out of the gates from COVID protocols was sputtering, but he's a pretty reliable offensive contributor as well. And you're right, what it does is it eases the load on Scotty Barnes, but it also eases the load on what has been an unreliable bench and the worst bench in the league this year. But you're seeing how Nick Nurse is deploying his bench units. He has this jumble lineup yesterday of Barnes, Boucher, Siakam, Gary, and Precious. And in that third quarter, they were able to, you know, kind of stymie the Bucks and get themselves back into this game. So, yeah, when you have those main guys contributing as much as they do, you don't have to rely on the bench, who only had 15 points last night. They just need to come in and just not give up points. You know, they don't have to be the star of the game and be the offensive contributors. That's not exactly their role, but they just need to support the starters. And I'm really liking how these hybrid lineups are looking that Nick Nurse is still, I think, kind of tinkering with. Like when Svi Mihailov comes back and Utah Watanabe comes back, that's going to change things again. But for the meantime, like guys like Justin Champagne are trying to get his, another undrafted, you know, gem that found by Masai Ujiri. And you got to love guys like Justin who come out there and just give it everything he's got for however long he gets to play in the game.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, man, it's just so different. And, again, this is high-level analysis for you folks, but it's just so different when they actually have, you know, the whole team together, which still feels like a bit of a novelty. So, Fred VanVleet, scale 1 to 10, how angry will you be if he – I mean, I think the coaches will eventually bring him on. And the thing is, I always promised myself this, Nikki, I'm not going to get angry. It's fan voting. It's a popularity contest, and Miami Heat fans are nuts as well, and it's not just about Tyler Hero. There's a bunch of guards there that don't belong over Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can make an argument for the list that's up there right now. Everyone has. It's also, it's revisionist history. It's what have you done for me lately as well. So it's a mix of those things. Like Atlanta Hawks aren't having the best season, but Trae Young is Trae Young, and he's pretty darn dynamic and someone you would like to see in an All-Star game. But Freddie is putting up the numbers, and you're absolutely right. He deserves a shot, and when the coaches vote, they know all the little things that he brings to a game. You can see just how he disrupts the game, fills the gaps, and he's just so effective off ball, and he does everything. And then on top of all that, the leadership and how he galvanizes this team. But the fan voting is a big component of that. You know, I was looking back at it, and when Pascal was voted in 2020, he was second in fan voting. So we know that, you know, the Toronto Raptors fans and Canadian basketball fans can show up. But right now, it's pretty embarrassing that he only has, like, what, just over 100,000 votes, I think it was? And then you have someone like DeMar, who's got, like, almost 1.5 million. So there's a big gap to fill there. But if you want him in, you have to vote for him. And then this narrative of, like, oh, we don't get the same media attention as we do in the States, of course we don't. We're in a different country. But if you want to vote him in, then you should absolutely be voting. If you want to see him in, I should say, you should absolutely be voting.
100%. Nick joined by Nikki Reyes. Go out there, vote for Fred VanVleet. The contributions he makes, it's incredible the difference between the Raptors' performance when he's on the floor versus when he's on the bench. Only Nikola Jokic has a greater swing in that capacity. So looking ahead to the next game, Utah on Friday. This is another great test from the Raptors. Like, I know there was no Giannis, but it was back-to-back on the road. Middleton, Drew Holiday were there. And, the Raptors withstood Milwaukee hitting everything in the first half, and they were able to keep it close. I'm now curious to see what they look like a Friday against Utah. And I think maybe the bigger picture thing for me as a fan of this team, I no longer have dread. You know, like when your team is bad or injured, you're like, oh, God, that game's going to be ugly. Like, you're at the point now where you're excited. It's like there's no game out there that you don't think, oh, no, Raptors could win this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I feel, too, because it's going to be entertaining regardless, because you know they're going to put up a fight, and they're talented and all that. And the way that they're shooting the ball right now, like, is it realistic that Fred VanVleet is going to keep pouring out, you know, 30-point games? He has, like, I think 30 or more in 4 of his last 5. Probably not. He'll probably come back to earth. But like we said, there's other guys who can come out there and fill the void, right? And I think Friday's going to be obviously a really good test. I was hoping it would have been against Giannis yesterday. But they're going to see one of the premier big men in the league in Rudy Gobert and how they stack up against a really, really good Utah Jazz team. The 28-10 on the season, and quietly, again, just putting another dominant year together. What I find interesting, though, is like they are the last team to have a player enter the health and safety protocol. Joe Ingles did on Tuesday. And so, as we've seen, Matt, you know, it's kind of a trickle effect. Like, one guy will get it one day, and then, you know, a couple hours later, maybe another guy, or a day or two later, maybe another guy. And knock on wood, you don't want anyone to enter health and safety protocols if you're the Utah Jazz, but this just seems to be the reality. So come Friday, I don't know who's going to be playing for the Utah Jazz or if anyone will be available for the Utah Jazz. But, you know, the Raptors have been playing the teams who have been missing their star players, like what they did with the Knicks, like they did with Golden State, and they've been taking advantage of it. And so if that's going to be the case on Friday, then so be. But I would like to see where they stack up against a top team in this league, just to kind of get a gauge of what we're working with, because I don't want to say it's an anomaly right now, or this isn't true that they're this good, but they just feel really good right now, and they just look really good. So I'd like to see them against a premier team.
Yeah, and you want to see that feeling confirmed. And both things can be true. Like, the Raptors have gotten lucky when it comes to, you know, they play the Clippers. There's no Paul George. You mentioned, the Knicks and now Milwaukee without Giannis. But in a lot of these games, you know, especially against the Spurs, against New York, they're blowing those teams out. Against the Clippers, you know, they led throughout. The Milwaukee game, they had a 15-point lead with over 3 minutes to go. So while you'd rather to see what it look like when it's your best against their best, the positive you can also take away from the Raptors is they are taking care of business against these teams.
Yeah, the seventh now in the East, you know, one game above 500. And how quickly can things change when you start to string together a couple of wins here? And I don't know what being seventh in the East really means, Matt. I don't know if we're still having this conversation. I think it's confirmed. Like, at the end of the day, yes, okay, you want them to be able to have the experience of playing in the playoffs. You want guys to have that, you know, kind of that feeling and know what it's like to get up for games that really matter. Do I think they're going to make a lot of noise in the East? I don't know. Maybe it's just too early to tell as we deal with this new healthy rotation. But they sure look good. I can tell you, there's a lot of teams in the East who aren't looking as good as they used to, i.e. the Bostons and Atlanta, as I mentioned, or Washington. So the Raptors definitely can make a run here.
Before I let you go, let's end with the easiest question of this interview with Nikki Reyes, who covers all
things
Raptors.
No, I hate him. I know what you're going to ask me.
Damn it. I hate when guests listen to my show before they come on as a guest. Kyrie Irving played last night, and you're feeling what?
I mean, disappointment is probably the first word that comes to my mind. And you know, it's just because superstars like him, they get to play by a different set of rules, you know, and it's frustrating at the end of the day. I understand why. It's a business. I get it. I understand what he contributes to the team. There was a need because of injuries and COVID, and you want to ease the burden on Durant and Harden, and I get all that. Yeah, good for him that he's back playing. And he sounded, I guess, somewhat sincere in his post-game press conference and tried to deflect any attention. But I don't know, 22 points after not playing basketball for as long as he did is pretty good. Like, he's someone who can create his own offense. He doesn't really rely on you know, being the center per se of all the actions. And so, yeah, and he can, you know, he can take attention and focus away from Durant and Harden. So, of course, he's going to be a great addition. I just don't, you know, I don't know. I don't even know the guy, and he just rubs me the wrong way. So there's that, for what it's worth. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. I had someone who gave such a great answer, because I was like, it's sports villain day with Djokovic in Australia and Antonio Brown and then Kyrie. I like this one. Some Bleeding Blue writes in, Kyrie just comes across as a mystic who isn't bright enough to avoid conspiracy theories. I'm like, I'm like, okay.
That's it.
Yeah, my question is...
But the world is flat. The earth is flat, you know. So after that, it's kind of hard to recover when you have any other kind of conspiracy theories that you may be throwing out there, if that's the one that, you know, people associate with you, that you said that the earth is flat. So I don't think he'll ever be able to live that down. But look, we need the Kyries of the world, right? We need him in the league. He makes things interesting. He gets conversations going. I just won't be buying his jersey ever or anytime soon. I won't be cheering for him. So that's a feat.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with you. And if they hadn't lost those three in a row before the Pacers game, maybe Kyrie doesn't play. The interesting thing, Nikki, and we'll save this for another day, Kyrie does both things. He makes things very interesting, but if all the Nets are healthy, well, it might make things very uninteresting as they crush through the league like Golden State did when Durant was there. But we save that debate for another day on a slow news day. Nikki, we'll be hearing you. Raptors beat every Thursday, 10 a.m. right here on TSN 1050. And if you miss it, go and download wherever quality podcasts are sold. And the next time I guess we'll be hearing you will be Sunday, Raptors against the New Orleans Pelicans. Always appreciate it, Nikki.
Thanks, man. Have a good one. Stay safe.
You too. Take care. That is Nikki Reyes covering all things Raptors right here on TSN 1050.